I just want to share this before we even get started. I was talking to my brother yesterday, and I was sharing with him that a lot of people act like they can't worship or they don't have a relationship with God if they're not meeting in a building. Right. And I said, what this thing is really doing for a lot of people is exposing that we didn't think we had the relationship with God that we really thought. As long as we're in a setting, we can hide behind other people. If the drums hit a certain level, decimal, we can get with that. Or the keyboard, we can hide behind that. It's one thing now to where when you isolate it and it's you and God, then it is what it is. So I'm only saying that so you'll create the type of atmosphere that you want God to move in. Because I don't believe God trying to waste our time. And I don't think he got us really isolated the way he has us isolated. But he's trying to show the body of Christ that you can do a lot of things when you hooked up in the realm of the spirit, wherever you may be. So God got to be real to you wherever your zip code is at, whatever your address is, whatever your APO is. He got to be real to you right where you sit, irrespective of who's sitting by you. So clap your hand for about 10 more seconds. My wife's going to pray right after that. And then we can go right in for what we can do.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for life, health, and strength on this morning. Lord God, we thank you right now, oh God, for waking us up, oh God, closed in our right minds. Lord God, we invite your presence into the live stream on today, oh God. Lord God, through the preaching and teaching, oh God, we ask, oh God, that the people, oh God, begin to hear your word, oh God. Lord God, through their homes, oh God, Lord God, let it begin to let your anointing rest down upon them, oh God. If there's anyone that may be sick, oh God, Lord God, we ask, oh God, that you come in and become a healer on today, oh God. Lord God, we ask, oh God, in the midst of us on today, oh God, Lord God, that you begin to set the captives free, oh God. Oh God, as we're in isolation, oh God, from the sickness, oh God, Lord God, let us, oh God, get a connection closer with you, oh God. Begin to speak to our hearts and minds, oh God. Develop us, oh God, in the way that you have us to go in, oh God. Lord God, we thank you and praise you, oh God, for who you are, oh God. We thank you and praise you, oh God, for, oh God, the internet airway, oh God, that your word will become truth, oh God, and your truth will become life in our life on today, oh God. Lord God, I thank you and praise you, oh God, for IDF of Colorado, oh God. Lord God, I even thank you and praise you, oh God, for my family members, oh God, that are tuned in, oh God, to what you have to say unto them on today, oh God. And God, we forever give your name all the anointing, all the praise, and all the glory. You see your son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Anybody got a testimony or something you want to share before we get started going into the word? I need some good news. I know somebody got some good news.
Amen. I'm still able to go to work and do everything.
Go ahead, Deacon Strange.
I'm still able to go to work. Really unorthodox, doing everything via phone, text, and email. And what I mean by unorthodox is even people that come to the showroom, we still have to turn them away and say, hey, give me a call or email. So I thank God for that. And of course, keeping me healthy, still being out among the masses, and then not allowing me to bring anything back home. So I thank God for that. Thank God for just keeping us whole and healthy during this unforeseen time, and God is able. Also, just thank God for my wife. She's still able to sell houses during this time, and houses are still selling. Amen. So God has saw fit to continue to keep the favor of our lives. So we just thank God for it.
Mm-hmm. I thank God ain't nobody IDF sick. Y'all ain't saying that. Come on. Praise the Lord. Because I was talking to other people, and their ministries is getting touched. Like, literally, folks in the ministry are getting sick. I just thank God that God is actually keeping us. You know, like I said, business is better than sacrifice. And I thank God how God could talk to you and your wife for us. We can get under that leadership and that, learn how to follow the instructions. You know, so I thank God for that. So I'm really ecstatic. And also keeping us while we're doing our daily doings as well. So I thank God for that.
Amen. I saw you dressed all up in your space suit on Facebook. So that's good.
Hey, you got to protect yourself, the technicians and everybody else. So, you know, so that's why I said, I thank God for wisdom. You know, Lord woke me up this morning, Saturday morning. He said, go get the suits. I said, all right, Lord. So I got up. I didn't ask no question. Went to Home Depot. They stopped sale. They said they can't sell to customers because it was executive order from the up top saying, hey, you can't sell it to, because apparently the hospitals need it or so. And I said, well, Lord, where I should go? He said, go to Lowe's. I went to Lowe's to get the suits. Not only that, he gave me the stuff that I needed. The manager said if I needed something else to call him directly, he would get it for me through the back house. So I thank God for that.
Amen. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Amen. Anybody else?
I got one, Pastor. It's small, but it's a small.
Go ahead.
It ain't small.
Well, first of all, the Brother Avery, hallelujah, because that stuff can get expensive, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't think folk understand that. It could be a club. It could be $100. Okay, that's it. It's the small stuff. So, first of all, I want to thank you all for praying for my husband, even the ones that have never met my husband and has lifted him up where he is. They're on even more restriction than we are. So I'm thankful for the freedoms that I have now because of all of you that have served, right? But the other part is he's been unable to get hand soap, right? So they've been rationing out hand soap. I know you got me, Brother EJ. They've been rationing out hand soap. And by the time he gets to the store, because he has, you know, to work, do his duties, the shelves are empty. Like, everything is empty, and they're still filling, bringing people in South Korea. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. But I thank the Lord that he was able to get about 3 bottles of hand soap to wash his hands. Yeah. Now, yeah. Y'all don't have to celebrate with me, and that may seem small to y'all, but if it's a requirement for your hands to be clean, to deal with
it,
and it's like a requirement, and you can't have something that's a necessity, I give God praise for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I believe, amen, time, if that's okay, if I say, Pastor, that this has humbled me about just being thankful for the small stuff. Like, I'm busy shipping him stuff and trying to get what I can from the States over to him, which takes about 2 weeks. But God was able to allow for him to get the things that he needs. Amen. So I thank y'all for listening to my testimony.
Amen.
It ain't no small thing. That's a big thing. Germs are killing people right now. Amen. So if we can get them, we can get them. John 14. That's what we're going to start at today. John 14. Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified after having heard the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And let something be said that would actually stir and inspire your people in this difficult season. And Father, we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. John 14. I'm going to be talking today a little bit. You can interact. What's going on there, Brother Derek? You can interact as much as you like. but I really just want to talk from the standpoint of having faith over fear. The first person I think I heard say that was Brother EJ. I think I heard him say it. And then I started seeing people put these posts all over Facebook, and they would be hashtagging it that. And I know, you know, ain't no original thought on the planet. I'm just saying that I heard it with him first. That you, during this time, I think people are going to actually have to have faith to override fear. And so fear is deadly. I was talking to my brother-in-law yesterday, who's a pastor. He was trying to see what we was doing. I said, we doing Zoom. That's what we doing. I said, people can do whatever they want to do. And I'm not scared at all. But there comes a certain time where you need to exercise wisdom. You know, it goes back to what I was saying last week. Everybody want to act like they some water walker, and their life don't reflect that they've accomplished nothing by faith up to this point. And they'll be dead as a doorknob somewhere, trying to act like they got something that they don't. But I said, we doing Zoom. There's a pastor who just had opened up his church last week, had 80 people. This week, 40 of them got corona. Half of them, to include him. Pastor Peterson right down the street at Mount Bountiful Blessing, him and his first lady. Coronavirus, I think they got it. One of their deacons died this week, coronavirus. El Paso County got 160 cases. And I'm not trying to incite fear in you. I'm trying to tell you that you are fighting an invisible enemy, and it is real. It is real. So Wednesday night, I think it was Wednesday night after Bible study, I went in there and I heard them talking about the government had made a change to the policy that, you know, you could have church if you want to, as long as you practicing social distance, social distancing. And my wife had asked me, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? And I said, I don't know. I said, let me think about it. And I was downstairs getting a drink of water, and I could just hear God say just as plain as day, do not open up those doors. This thing is cornered now, and it's going to get really aggressive to try to hurt and harm and kill as many people as can, because they about to figure it out. They about to crack the code. And when we get up the next morning and there's 30,000 additional cases across the country, we looked at each other. It did exactly what God said it was going to do. It's going to get more aggressive before it gets better. And the people of God better use some type of wisdom in our day-to-day interactions. And it's so funny because, you know, God will sit up and tell us something like this over and over and over again, and we'll be acting like we're hearing God, and ain't nothing that you done see it came to pass, but yet God is confirming things that he said to me come to pass over and over and over and over. And I'm not no prophet. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. That's what I do. But it's amazing how we want to over-spiritualize things to really justify our disobedience to what's going on. And God be trying to help us. You know, many people, he got many people quarantined on because they marital life and their family life is raggedy. He's giving you plenty of opportunity to go and make amends with your husband and your wife and your children. He's giving people, he's quarantined some people off because they always act like they don't have no time for God. So God then gave you plenty of time. And yet we are binge watching 12, 14, 16 hours a day TV. You understand what I'm saying? And so when God give us, people act like they don't have no rest. And then God give us ample opportunities for our bodies to minimize stress and to rest. And we don't know how to deal with it. You know, it's almost like we have allowed busy work to replace things that's actually effective in our life. And the devil is the master at stealing people's time. He steals people's time all the time. I told my wife the other day, Monday, I think it was, I said, do you realize that if you read the Bible for 10 minutes a day, you can read through the entire Bible in 1 year, just 10 minutes a day, 10 minutes. If people read the Bible 10 minutes a day. So let's just say if you read 30 minutes a day, you done read through the entire Bible 3 times in a year, where most people ain't read it 1 time. See? And so all of these creature comforts that we have, drums, keyboard, somebody exhorting us or somebody bumping us, and then we don't have that, we don't know what to do, you know? But it's still, you got to be able to use the faith that we're saved by. We got to be able to live by it. And this is the time to do it. So in John 14 and 1, Jesus is talking, and Jesus said, he says, I'm going to read the Amplified, but he says, don't let your heart be troubled, which means that you have a choice. You have a choice whether you're going to be troubled. And caution is not meaning that you're troubled. So if you're riding down the road, if you're traveling down the road and you're traveling 75 miles an hour and they have that little caution sign up there and say, hey, it's a curve around here, it's a down slope, you can ignore that caution sign if you want to, talking about I'm saved, ain't nothing going to happen to me. You're going to be dead as a doughnut. Right? And because we are ignoring the warnings that God is putting out there. And so he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. He said, believe confidently in God and trust in him. Have faith. Hold on to it. Rely on it. Keep going and believe also in me. The Message Bible says, don't let this throw you. Don't let it throw you. You trust in God, don't you? Trust in me. That's what Jesus is saying. The NLV says this, don't let your heart be troubled. You put your trust in God, now put your trust in me, the author and the finisher of your faith. So when you start thinking about that from having faith over fear, this is exactly what Jesus consistently talked about. I'm going to explain how powerful fear is. But it ain't more powerful than faith, right? A lot of what people think is faith is not. Positive thinking is not faith. Now you will think positive if you got faith, but positive faith, positive thinking ain't faith. You will think positive if you have it, but positive thinking ain't it. Because in order to have it, you got to have a word from God to back up what you're thinking positively on. So you can be thinking something positively, totally at the will of God, but ain't got nothing to do with God. Ain't no faith in that. That's just your mind. And I'm going to show you how your mind can affect your faith and why the devil targets that. So in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, I believe it is, 1:7, he says, for God has not given us what? A spirit of fear. He has not given you a spirit of fear. Go there. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but what? A power of love and a sound mind. Meaning, the sound mind means you got to prioritize your thinking. You got to be able to prioritize your thought life. If you don't prioritize your thought life, the devil will always put things in your mind, because that's the only way he can really be affected in your life. He has to control your thought, because your spirit, if you save, is consecrated unto God. Okay, so how is it getting in our life? I'm going to show you. He says you have to prioritize your thinking, or you got to think on godly things. Whatsoever true, whatsoever just, whatsoever true, whatsoever holy. You got to think on things like that, right? So the first thing you got to know when you look at that scripture is that he hasn't given us the spirit of fear. Is the first thing is that fear is a spirit. It's a spirit. If it's a spirit, just because you don't see it, that means that it's an invisible being. It makes it real. So, you know, the one thing that you learn about, I heard somebody the other day on the news, I was a soldier or whatever, a retired officer or whatever, and she's a doctor. But she said this, she said, I did 4 or 5 tours in Iraq. If you've been to Iraq, you know it ain't nothing to play with. People still messed up from it. But she said the difference was, in comparison to Iraq and this, she says, this is more deadlier than Iraq because at least we could see our enemies. She said, these enemies are on your shoes. They own your hat. They own your vest. They own your fingertip. And you don't even know that you're the one that's carrying it around. Are you hearing? You can be transporting the enemy, so to speak. And so when you think about, this is the same type of thing that we're dealing with now. It is an invisible being. It's got to have life to it because it has the ability to take life. I'll let you meditate. It's got to have some life to it because it's got the ability to take a life. Right? You can't take my life. You are not Jesus. Jesus laid down his life and he can pick it back up. You lay down your life and he the one got to pick it up. See, you don't have that kind of power. Humans don't have that kind of power. So you're not going to talk about, I'm going to lay it down and I'm going to pick it. No, you're not. It don't work like that for you. You're not Jesus. You're not God. So it is a spirit. So the question becomes, what is the role of this spirit? What is the role of it? The first thing it is, its job is to get you to expect evil. The spirit of fear gets you to expect adversity. It'll get you to expect sickness. But, you know, a lot of people are going to die. You know, we may get it, but you ain't got to get nothing. It gets you to expect evil. It can make you feel, the spirit of fear will make you feel ill, or to make you feel apprehensive about your future, like you don't have a future. And it ain't got, so some of you, it ain't really the coronavirus, it's making you apprehensive about going into your future thing that God has given to you. Now, it must make you feel apprehensive about your future because God has said, I have, no matter how bad your life is, I've given you a hope and a future. God gave it to you. If God gave it to you, it's got to be good. The only way the enemy can disrupt your future, he has to get you to not prioritize your thinking. Think on what he wants you to think on, and therefore he gets you to expect evil. He gets you to expect negative outcomes. He gets you to expect that it's not going to work out, or these people not going to pay me, or I'm going to lose my marriage, or I can lose my child. He start getting you to, he gets you paranoia. Paranoia is fear. You ever seen people that are paranoid about everything? I'm not talking about being cautious. I'm not talking about doing, because if you're not cautious and you're not paranoid, then you're reckless. I mean, you just take unnecessary risks, ungodly risks. It don't benefit you. It just seems like it's fun, an adrenaline rush. You understand? But it gets you to be apprehensive about your future. Once the enemy gets you to start being apprehensive about it or thinking bad about your future, you know what you start doing? You start avoiding it. It looks difficult, so I'm not going to go that way. I could never teach like that. I could never preach like that. I could never pray like that. I could never live like that, drive like that. But say the devil is a lie. And this is why David said, I will fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley, sometimes the only way to get to the next high place, you got to go through a low place, which is a valley. That's the only way through it. That's the only way to it. And you got to go through a low place oftentimes to get to another high place. And this is why David says, I'm going this way, come hell or high water. And though I got to walk through this valley, I'm not going to fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. Say that why wherever you sit. I'm going to fear no evil. I'm going to fear no evil. I'm going to fear no evil. What's the comments before I keep going? What's the comments? So, what's the antidote for fear?
Faith.
Faith is the antidote.
Courage.
Faith is the antidote, because when you say, like that's a great word, because courage is when you're displaying faith. It's courage is how you display it. It's recognized by other people. But really, the only real antidote for fear is faith. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Any questions or comments? You know, even like it's silent right now. It could be that you're just eating up the word, but some people don't never say anything. And it's not about, you know, when somebody give you an opportunity to talk, it's not about you talking. And I'm going to show you is that when you have faith, you will speak.
I got one.
But speaking ain't talking, not according to the Bible. So because faith could be idle words. They could be, talking could be empty words. But when God is talking about speaking, he's talking about speaking from the standpoint that when faith is in your heart, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will talk. So a lot of times people come in, everybody saying it's boring or it's dull. But really what they don't realize is that they are up under demonic attack. They don't even realize that they're up under demonic attack. They are in an attack right then. And they don't understand it. And so you be trying to say, you can take control over that and you can train your spirit how to respond, because we don't move by what we see. We believe and we move off what God has said. That's what we move off of. So talking according to God ain't speaking, right? This is why God don't just sit up and hold conversations with people all the time. You talk to some people and God, him and God have a flip-flop conversation from the time they hit the floor. And I say, what is God? Is God got idle talk? Is he just running his mouth for no reason at all? Absolutely not. God don't say nothing unless he got something to speak to you.
Amen.
And that word generates faith in you, because he's trying to change your life. I think I heard somebody said he had something to say.
Oh, that was me, Pastor. While you was thinking about Peter, how he was on the ocean, and you know, asked, he said, Lord, if that's you, he said, come. And the only I can remember, he was the only disciple to step out the boat. And why, mind you, this is during a ferocious storm. So, if you ever been on the ocean, I'm pretty sure when a storm is hitting, no waves is huge, and the wind is blowing, and everything's just, you know, just crazy. But, like, I was thinking, like, man, that takes some serious courage, like Brother Henry said, to step on that water and walk.
Yeah.
But as soon as he started looking around what someone's going on, he started to sink, because he took his faith off the fear. He took his focus off of faith in Jesus. He started looking around, and that fear was set him. That's what caused him to sink. I was thinking when he was talking about that, Pastor. So that's good.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? So you're going to say, I don't have nothing to say. I don't never have nothing to say. say. I ain't got nothing to say. But you know what? Why would God put you in a setting with all these people and you ain't never got nothing to say? Because faith ain't there. You need to take advantage of them 10 minutes a day that God said you can read, that you can get the whole Bible in you in 1 year. You need to get them 10 minutes in you every day so you'll have something to say. Because Malachi says this, that the priest's lip should always keep knowledge or a word. That's what the scriptures say. And we are the priest of God, that we should keep a word. Let's keep going. So the antidote for fear is faith. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 13, he's talking to them, we have in the same spirit of faith. According to that is written, what does it say? I believe. When the word is in you and you believe it, when God says something and you believe it, he says, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, we believe, and then we all speak. Paul said, he says, the same spirit of faith, according to it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. When the word is in you abundantly, it will come out of your mouth eventually. I believe, and therefore I speak what I believe. He says, therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. Say, I faint not. But though our outward man is yet perishing, our inward man is being renewed. So no matter what's going on around me, I can still be going up in God. It don't change me. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, working for us. They are working for us. Our afflictions are working for us. You at home, you seem like you're afflicted, but you're missing an opportunity somewhere because God said it's supposed to be working for you, right? And if we're doing things the way God has conditioned us to do, that's why I keep telling people, you stay where you're supposed to be, you're going to go up. You're going to go up right where God has you nestled down and hunkered down while other people are losing stuff and begging stuff. Why? Because this is not a losing season for you. This is a winning season. This is a latter rain season for you. You're not supposed to go down no matter what's happening out there.
Come on. Amen.
You're
Amen.
Not supposed to go down.
Amen.
Come on. See, because God knows what he's doing. And so when you think about it like that, it's important that we see it this way. Verse number 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, everything you see is temporal. Now, I told a preacher this the other day. I said, I don't hear people talking about it can last. I said, I don't really think it's going to last that much longer. I don't know why. You know, sometimes you do, but you don't want to see it like that. But I don't think it's going to last as long as people are projecting it to last. I can't see it. And that's why I feel like it's trying to get really, really aggressive, right? I told y'all this a few months back, that it is scientifically proven that sickness does get worse at nighttime. Sickness gets worse at the darker it gets. And what happens is, I think it's the white blood cells really start rising up in your body at that time, and they start attacking, and that's why we be feeling the effects of a fight that's going on in our body to heal us, and it seems like it's getting worse, but really what we are experiencing is that God is exterminating the devil on our behalf. And so it seems like it's getting worse out there, but really God is exterminating the devil on his people's behalf. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so anybody got any questions or comments? It's important that we see victory right now. It's really important that no matter what's happening out there, it's important that the people of God see victory. We got to see victory. We got to know that it's working together for our good. I can finish my college course. I was falling behind. I can catch up now. Now, I'm not going to, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, some universities are even offering free classes to people. People who couldn't even afford, I'm talking about Harvard and Yale is offering free classes to people.
Yeah.
Come on.
Online. Right? Because that's their contribution to you being locked away. And people are saying, man, I couldn't even afford this class. But now people are giving you the opportunity to qualify your breakthrough when the storm is over. I'm not talking to anybody for this
place. Yes, amen.
Yes, come on, amen.
So it's important that we see victory. Say that three times. I see victory.
I see victory.
Nothing changed. I had to tell a pastor, I say, don't start preaching something crazy and it changes the word that God gave you in a peaceful season.
Come on.
I say, don't let that change your message. Your message is to carry people throughout this whole year. Don't go preaching crazy because it's craziness going on around you.
Come on.
Whatever the vision was, that's what we're sticking with. Whatever direction that we're going, that's what we still headed. We ain't changing nothing. And tell somebody, I ain't changing my confession of faith. I'm not changing how I pray. I'm not changing how I give. I'm not changing where I live. I ain't changing nothing. I got the proper instructions in a season of peace, and that's what I'm going to function off of. Any questions or comments? Numbers 13.
I had something, Pastor.
Go ahead.
So when you were saying the apprehension, I think that's real big. Because I can't remember the scripture, but it says faith without works is dead. So that's the only part of that scripture. Oh, yeah, I got faith. Oh, no, I'm just sitting at home. I'm not going to take those classes. I'm not going to, you know, see where I can, you know, be involved or try to get to my next level where God has me to be. So I think that apprehension definitely sticks out. And people are just not showing the actual work of their faith. They're just sitting back saying, oh, I'm going to just sit here. No, you need to show your faith because your faith is, your works represents your faith.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what is so you know, alarming to me is that, you know, truthfully, a lot of people who are experiencing the maximum amount of fear, the only contact that they had through the coronavirus was on TV. That's the only contact they done had with it. See, I will not fear. Because God is trying to prove to us that he already got you spiritually inoculated, and the only contact you done had was through a screen and can't touch this. You understand what I mean? You're on the other side. We're in a place where we ain't even been touched. Now, why the devil wants you to get in fear? Because he knows that if you get, the only way you can get in fear, you got to move out of the realm of the spirit where God is at. Okay. Stay where you at. But in Genesis like 3, when the devil started talking to Eve, they were already in a spirit. They're in the realm of the spirit because they walked and talked with God in the cool of the day. The only way he could get in through to her is that he had to get her to come down from the arena of faith and in the spirit where God was at, where he could mess with her mind.
Amen.
The minute he started messing with her mind, he started altering her conduct.
Come on.
As he's altering her conduct, he's pulling her out of her future, her expected end in God. They was never supposed to die.
Come on. That's
you
good,
are
Pastor.
Never supposed to die like that. We're not supposed to die like this.
That's good.
Yes.
And so he'll pull you out. He's trying to pull people out to where come down to where we don't prioritize our thinking. We don't get up in the morning like we're more afraid. We cut the news on. We don't get in and meditate on God. We start looking at the paper. We start going through the internet. We start looking for people to die. Why don't we look for God to wake up one morning and the antidote done showed up and 1,000 people are healed rather than dead?
Come on. Woo! Thank you, Lord.
So you got to see victory right now. See, I see victory. In Numbers 13, and 30. Let me get a backdrop. Just go there. But God done told Moses to tell, and these are all leaders. These are all leaders. All these tribes pick the leader, and the leader goes into Canaan because God is telling them to go and expect what he told them. So they go over into Canaan, and when you pick up the narrative, like around that 23rd verse, they go in there, and they see all this stuff that God done told them. They see the pomegranates, they brought them back. They see the figs, they brought back clusters of grapes so big that it took two people to even carry a cluster of grapes back. Now, I've been telling some of y'all to set your money aside. I've been told you to set your money aside. The stock market right now is a gold mine if you know what you're looking at. And God is trying to give you a cluster of grapes. And you, in so much fear, you don't even know what to look at it. You paranoid. People are paranoid. And I, you know what? I'm going to get me a video of why everybody running from me. So they pull him back the grapes, they pull him back the pomegranates, they pull him back all the stuff God told them. I don't care what people do. It ain't changed nothing God telling me and things that placed in my heart. The very thing that one person is running from is the same place that's a blessing to you. In Numbers, in 1 Kings 17, I think it's 17, the enemy was running from a camp because God's people on the other side of the wall was actually starving. God ran the enemy away and told them to go over there and say, now get what you want to get. He ran the devil away and then said, now I want you to go over there. Now pick up what you want to pick up. He gives his people opportunity to make up for lost time, lost income, lost severances that they never got on jobs. All this stuff he positioned the people from and people running from. So he done told them that it's there. And then you get these people in verse number 30. They brought back a word talking about there's giants over there. That the observation is wrong. He told them, he says in 27, we came to the land whither thou sent us, and surely everything God said, the milk and the honey is there, the fruit is there. Nevertheless, the people that are be strong that dwell in the land, talking about giants, are very great, and the children of Anak. Their perception is wrong. The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the mosquito bites, the termites. They dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of the Jordan. And it says, and Caleb told the people, shut up. If you're not going to talk faith, close your mouth. KYMS, keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
If you can't hear what God is saying, nobody want to hear you talk. We're trying to hear God speak. Keep your mouth shut. And Caleb stilled him. That's what it means. He stilled him. He told him to shut up. And it says this. He says, let us go up at once. Let us go up at once. If you're sitting by your wife or your husband or your kids, say, let us go up at once. This is the time to go up. This ain't the time to go down. Let the crowd and the enemy go down. It's time for us to go up. Let them go down there. I didn't want to split this up here. But nobody can hear me. You go on down, I'm going to go on up. And he says, but we are well able to overcome it. Now, the it is a type of the enemy. It is a type of the spirit of fear. That's what they're dealing with. They think they're dealing with the giants, but obviously they weren't really dealing with the giants at that time. Because they walked out of Canaan with pomegranates, grapes, and figs, and not one giant killed them. So what made them think that they couldn't have gotten everything and moved in right by the giants? The spirit of fear was making them run away from the very thing God was calling them to. And that's what's happening to many people in the body of Christ. They are running away from things that God is calling them to. I'm going up at once. But the men went up and said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than I. And they brought up what? An evil report. Are you seeing this? They brought up an evil report because evil takes your expectation and it warps it. It makes you apprehensive. It makes you, again, avoid the very thing God positioned you for the whole time to bless you with.
Come on.
It'll make you avoid it. Say, this is my ladder ring.
This is my ladder ring.
You watch what happened.
Thank you, Lord.
You watch what happened. You watch what happened for the people of God that actually believe what I'm talking about. Ooh, you watch
thank you, Lord.
You watch what I'm telling is going to happen. And go to Numbers 14. And Caleb not only told him to be quiet, but in 24, it said that Caleb thought like that because my servant Caleb, he said, all these people, I told him to go, they wouldn't go. He said, but my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit. What kind of spirit does he have? God, he got a spirit of faith. He got a spirit of faith. And he believed, therefore he was speaking. He wasn't talking when he was telling him to go up there. He was speaking unto them under the anointing and the power of God that we are yet able to possess it. And they was talking him down. I hear what pastors say. You can believe whatever you want to say. Get your little internet and Facebook preachers and believe them. I'm going up at once.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm going up at once. Every day. Every day I just tell you this. He keep on blessing me. Over and over again.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Every single day. And I'm glad about it. And the same thing on me, same thing on you.
Amen.
I receive that.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
For my servant Caleb means a dog. It means that when God gave his name, actually means dog. It means that when he locks onto something, he can't be shaken. It's like a pit bull. You know, everything else is going on around. I got my word. You can throw me. I watched the somebody who had sent something where this dog had attacked another animal, and they was beating him and tasing him, and the police trying to get him off him. That pit bull was locked on that thing like white on rice, and he wasn't going to let go. And that's the way God said, you got to have a pit bull mentality in this season. You got to hold on to what you know is yours. And even when you've been beaten by the storms of life, I'm not letting go of this because this is going to be productive for me.
Amen. Come on.
He says, because he has another spirit and he has fully followed me. See, and when you ain't fully followed, that's why I don't like dealing with people, and I see you and I know who you are when you don't fully follow me. Because God the same way.
Yeah.
You gotta ask yourself why when you're on a team and you can't fully follow them. Fully. Why you can't fully follow them? Because you ain't full yet. You got to get your own individual self full with faith. So as God is talking to his people, you full too. We all full. We all going up. Ain't nobody got to encourage me no more because this ain't no time to get full. This is the time to possess. This is the time to lock hold. Say, I'm a lock hold.
I'm a lock hold.
The spirit of fear is invisible beings. You can call them demons if you want to. But they aim at breaking your ability to think about God. That's why Eve had to come down. He was breaking her ability to think on God. And the minute that she stopped thinking on God, that's why I said, if people don't stay locked in, even like these settings right here, because I'm preaching just like I preach if I was in the church standing up. It don't make me no different. Mm-hmm. Nothing no change to me. If one of y'all had logged on, I've been doing the same thing. It don't make me no different.
Come on.
Right? Because it's one of these things to where you have to be the same. If it's really God, whether it's 15 people or 1,500, why should it change you? So it's these invisible beings that are breaking people's ability to think about God. Here's my point. A lot of times, I said this before, people will be walking through their house, the word going for it right now.
Yeah.
They'll be going back and forth to the bathroom, going to get a drink of water, miss their word.
Yeah.
Why? Because really what they are experiencing, they up on an attack right where they're sitting at. And the devil is trying to break their ability to think about God because he don't want them to kick the door down to get their breakthrough.
Amen.
And you do it. What's the antidote for fear and evil?
Faith.
And faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing what? a word from God.
Pastor, I'm at work right now, so I'm trying to listen and multitask. So forgive me.
So the goal of the spirit. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. So the goal is to get you to turn from the spirit to your mind. Right? So, like, it always bothers me. Like, you know, I understand that you have, you know, like, if it's just something that I think, I'll say that I believe. Mm-hmm. I will never put it off on God, because we do got a mind. And sometimes you don't know all at one time. It comes, sometimes things come in shift, or come in pieces sometimes. But when I have a problem when people say, they're always talking about this what I think. This what I believe. Now, where you get that from? Has God told you that? That's what you're looking for. And here's the thing. If he gets you to move from a plateau to where God is talking to you, your mind will lead you into places where you never thought you could go. You would lose things. Because fear is like a magnet. I said this before. It'll make you attract sickness.
Yeah.
It'll pull you right out into some foolishness. But you know what? God said, he said, if you continue to function from your mind, you're going to make it easier for Satan to catch you and affect you. If you can't keep on running with your mind, if you don't prioritize your thinking and start to thinking on the things of God, you're going to allow your mind, and you're going to make it easier for Satan to catch you and affect you, to subdue you and to break you. And that's his whole goal. Because here's the thing. You can be in a storm, and the storm not being you. You can be in total peace. Mm-hmm. Jesus is on that boat. His body is physically in a storm. The storm ain't in him, and he is resting on a pillow. And that's where the people of God got to be right now. Storms can be going all around you. Jesus said, I'm going to the other side. I'm going to the other side. Waste all your energy messing with me, devil. I'm still going.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, God.
Then I'm going to the other side.
I'm going to the other side.
I want y'all to come with me, but I'm going.
I'm going.
Is the word of God powerful?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Can it heal you?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
It can deliver you?
Oh, yes.
It can prosper you?
Yes.
When everything else is going wrong in the world, you can be going up in the world.
Come on, Amen.
The only thing that really separates us.
Woo, thank you, Lord.
When something is affecting everybody and it don't touch us, this is the only thing that separates us. And God, I believe God is trying to make a difference who his people really are right now.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Everything can be going down and you still be increasing. You still be just as happy. You still just be as happy. Nothing is going.
Amen.
So, go to Mark. Go to Matthew. Hey, anybody got any questions or comments?
I think that's why as Christians, as believers, it's important for us to be positive. We can become negative so easily. Mm-hmm. You know, people actually listening to us, people leaning on us for advice. Now, thinking of what God is really saying.
Yeah.
Every time we say something negative, it takes whatever positive momentum away from them, and then they're trapped in that cycle as well.
Yeah. And it'd be nothing but the enemy. It'd be nothing but the enemy. Trying to pull people down, right? Trying to get them out the arena of the spirit. Because I think the church is training people wrong. You know, sometimes when the Holy Ghost hits you, you do get goosebumps, but that ain't the only way you know he's moving in your life.
That's right.
That's not the only way you know, right? And I'm going to clarify that statement here in a minute, but that's not the only way you know you're hearing God or that God is near you. He is an ever-present help. Ever-present means he never leaves.
That's right.
No matter where I go, he never leaves. That's why he says, if you make your bed in hell, I'll be there also.
I'll never leave. Come on.
Woo. So let's look at Mark 8. Mark 8, because what do we have? Where do we extract this power from? Yeah, it's faith, but where we get it from? We get it from Matthew 8:14. I'm going to show you something real quick. If you can go there with me, please. When Jesus went into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying ill with a fever. Now, Peter is an apostle. Peter been walking with Jesus, man.
Yeah.
He didn't see what Jesus do in cases like this. Why didn't he do something?
Was it really on him, or was it on the mother that probably didn't have faith because she knew who he was, that he could actually speak the word and heal her?
Yeah. And that's probably a good scenario. But think about it this way. The closer you are to a situation, the harder it makes it for you to read it. The closer you get to it, the harder, it's the same words, the harder it is for you to read it. The closer we are to a situation, sometimes it takes us out of our game.
Yeah.
And you have to step back and allow the Son of God or the Holy Ghost to insert himself between you and the problem so that it can be dealt with.
Amen.
We got to step back some and allow God to get in there. And so watch what Jesus do. He touched her hand. Luke 4 says, and he rebuked the fever, or he spoke to the fever. And of course, the question becomes, you can ask yourself, can fevers hear? Obviously it can, because it says that the fever left her and she got up. And he just spoke to her. And then it says, when evening came, they brought to him men. I say that because, you know, many of you can have kids right now. You can have a fever. They ain't got nothing to do with corona. And rather than just you speaking to it, you're going to drown it with something else. And then they wake up and they still hot. But you could have spoke to it and just rebuked it. It'll leave.
Amen. And
when evening come, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons, or these invisible spirits. That's all they are. They're invisible spirits. Same thing I was talking about earlier. And what did he do? He drove them out, the spirits, with a word. Or he drove out the spirits with his word, and he restored them to health, all who were sick. He used his word. He spoke his word. He wasn't talking his word. He just spoke his word because he believed it. I believe, and therefore I speak. That's why I believe in many cases the disciples would be walking with Jesus, and they holding their own conversation. They talking to each other. You hear Jesus have say nothing until it's time for him to speak, because his words got power. You understand what I'm saying? Your words got power too. Say the right things at the right time. So does the word of God have power over invisible spirits? That's the coronavirus. That's the spirit of fear. Because people say, I just got a spirit of fear. Then why don't you deal with that devil? How long are you going to keep carrying that devil around? He's making you avoid your future. Okay, y'all don't want to play on. How long are you going to carry him around?
That's right.
He's making you apprehensive about the things that God is saying. See, because you can be afraid of something and still be walking in faith. As long as I'm moving forward under the word of God, I'm going to be all right. I may be shaking right now. I may be a little trembling. I may be a little bit, but I'm moving in that direction. I may not be taking big steps, but I am taking a step. I'm moving in that direction. And as long as you are moving.
Yeah.
I'm not going to avoid my future no more. I'm not going to avoid it.
Amen.
So, is God able to keep us?
Yes.
Protect us? Somebody went to the bathroom. This might have been real good to them. I'm good with it. Everybody got to go. That's a natural body function. You good.
Amen.
You can say next to them. I tell you this, though. This week, this season, is going to be a testimony for some of you. No matter Amen. What's going on around, you're in a season of testimonies. Amen. What's happening in the world will not happen to you. You're in a Amen. Week of testimonies. You still don't get breakthroughs. What's Amen. Happening to the world won't happen to you. You're in a season of testimonies. When you're going to testify of the goodness of God, what's happening to other people, somebody better grab what I'm saying.
Come on.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
So if you hear something other than what God has said to you, you're going to die young, you're going to attract it, you know you're listening to a lie. They're going to lay you off when they're not going to pay me. Somebody's going to pay me. Somebody's going to give me an inheritance or something because I know my bills got to be paid. I'm listening Amen. To a lie.
Amen.
They're going to lay off 50% of the workforce where we're working at. It won't be me. That's a lie. Because I'm in an up season. I'm in an up
That's
season.
That's right. That's right.
Can you live good in an up-down season?
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Say faith over fear. Go to 1 John 4. Say faith over fear.
Faith over fear.
Say it two more times. Faith over fear.
Faith over fear.
Faith over fear.
Faith over fear. That's how you beat this.
Amen.
You know, everybody got their story. Everybody got their story. No, I ain't hearing that. You know, I ain't going. I don't really need to go and ride around. You know, I got plenty of food. I don't need to go do nothing crazy.
Amen.
I don't need nobody. My daughter has said that Jersey Mike was offering 50% off. I said, I don't want them people handling my food. I got a Philly cheesesteak in my refrigerator.
Expensive anyway.
Jersey Mike?
Yeah. I said, I don't need no Jersey Mike or no other kind of Mike. Say faith over fear.
Faith over fear.
Any questions or comments? Questions or comments?
I was wanting to say something, Dad.
Go ahead.
Earlier when you were speaking about it and he started speaking about Peter walking onto that water, I had put a message into the group chat saying that faith without works is dead. Right. And that just, you know, provides more thought into showing that even while you having faith, you can have faith. But without you believing and without you moving in the right direction, how are you going to actually be, you know, proving yourself with that faith?
Yeah.
So that's your works right there. And if you ain't got your works, then your faith is, again, dead.
Amen. 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 Anybody else?
Well, I got a comment.
Talk to me.
Well, on the not speaking up and the believing, I believe in God. I mean, I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for God, but sometimes I can be kind of shy, and I don't know. I ain't never been one to like to be in the center of attention.
This brother there.
Yeah.
I threw that hook in your mouth, and I pulled you because you started talking. Look at God.
Yeah. I felt as though you were talking to me. It's just, I mean, I'm not shy. I guess I'm shy to a certain point, but. Oh no! Sometimes I just don't like to be the center of attention all the time.
You got something to say? Sometimes the enemy does us like that. He put us in conditions way before we get to a place where we're used by God, and then he'll make you feel like you ain't got nothing to say, or that whatever God ministers to you is not valid. But that's a lie from the pits of hell. Your words have power, and you got something to say. You got a message, right?
I got plenty to say.
Yeah, if you've ever survived a mess in your life, you got a message. You got something that we can testify about. This is your week of testimony. This is your season of testimony. This is your place in God where you can testify. You got a word. Amen? You got a word.
Yeah, I got a word. He brought me through a lot. It's just, I don't know. Sometimes I can be kind of shy, kind of bad. I mean, I guess around people that I really don't know. I mean, you know, I'm getting to know people at IDF and, like I said, I ain't never been one that thrive on being the center of attention.
You keep on hanging around Mickey. Can you see me?
Yeah, I can see you.
You just keep on hanging around me. Anybody else?
I wanted to say something in reference to what he was saying about just not wanting to say things sometimes and stuff. I think it should help. Like with me, I learned to pray and ask God